20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Happy Sunday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL and the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. We are at Sunday number 2 of 32 without meaningful football. 2 down, 30 to go. It seems like a long time, but we've got a lot of fun stuff to discuss and a whole very fun offseason ahead of us. So make sure to like, subscribe, comment, give those 5-star reviews. We appreciate that a ton. We have a fun episode for you today talking about what if Micah Parsons was not a member of the Green Bay Packers? What if they did not trade for him right before the start of the season last year? It's a fun hypothetical that we'll go through today. Before we get there, shout out to brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member, Joe and Jane Tietzen. Thank you so much for signing up. Appreciate that a ton. Make sure to check out those memberships over on YouTube. One piece of Packers news. Another interview that is apparently confirmed. Bill Huber has done an unbelievable job tracking all of these. And if you want a full breakdown of all 4 of the candidates that we know so far, go over to Packers on SI and make sure to follow Bill. He does a tremendous job. There are very few limits of things that I will take super deep dives into. Assistant special teams coaches is right at my limit. You guys know I don't grade special teams. I've had it up to here with Packers special teams. I like to bury my head in the sand with as much special team stuff as I possibly can. It's not my cup of tea. It's about the only thing football and Packers related that I just can't get into. So go find Bill and he will give you everything you need to know about Sam Sewell. He was the assistant special teams coordinator for Jonathan Gannon in Arizona. He is still the assistant special teams coordinator in Arizona right now. Arizona, if you're wondering, did they have a good special teams last year? No, they were terrible. So none of the 4 candidates so far that we know about are really doing anything for me at this point in time. Doesn't necessarily mean they're good, bad, or indifferent. I don't know. From what I've seen, none of them have really, piqued my fancy so far. But it doesn't mean that those are the only 4 they're interviewing. In fact, I'd be willing to bet that there's quite a few more that are out there that they're still looking at and interviewing. And they're certainly, at least as up until this point, doesn't seem to be a consensus favorite or, certainly like this is going to be done anytime soon. So let's give Green Bay their time to figure this out. And in the meantime, there's no other special teams openings, right? So they're not competing against anybody. But the newest one is Sam Sewell, again, assistant special teams coordinator for the Arizona Cardinals. That brings us right away to our main topic. What if Green Bay did not make that epic trade for Micah Parsons? Well, first of all, I would have got to go to that Oasis concert last year. But besides that, that's not the point, nor here nor there. But what would have happened if Green Bay did not make that trade? Of course, you remember the Packers traded a 2026 first-round pick and a 2027 first-round pick along with Kenny Clark for Micah Parsons. Micah played out of his mind and then tore his ACL against Denver and then was out the rest of the year, is recovering from his ACL, hopeful to be back week 4, week 5, somewhere around that point in 2026. So what would have happened? The first thing I need to say here before we jump into anything else is that there is a certain butterfly effect that would have obviously taken place. If you don't make that trade, like take Tucker Kraft, for example, he's a perfect example of this. Tucker Kraft did not tear his ACL because of wear and tear or because he cut on it wrong or because it was, bound to tear one way or the other. He got mule kicked by Sean Ryan on a play which caused a chain reaction, including a torn ACL. The odds that that exact scenario plays out that exact way when they're not even in probably that same downer distance or have the same, who knows the butterfly effect after not trading for Micah Parsons and still having Kenny Clark on your roster at that point. There's no way that Tucker Kraft's in that exact same play, right? Who knows if Zach Tom would have been injured in the same way? Who knows, if Devontae Wyatt would have been injured? He may have not even been in on the play because Kenny Clark would have been there. So there are so many butterfly effects. There could have been other players that do get hurt because of a butterfly effect. So we can't, there are unlimited scenarios that could have happened based on this. All right. So we're not going to dive into all of that because it's literally impossible. We also don't know who Micah would have eventually been traded to. Would he have stayed in Dallas? Again, there are endless possibilities. But I want to look at just some things that we sort of can, take Micah out, put Kenny in, and look at how it may have affected things. As you well know, Green Bay finished 9-7-1 on the season. They were the 7 seed. faced the Chicago Bears in the first round of the playoffs, were eliminated immediately. They lost Micah in the second half against the Broncos. They didn't have him for the three remaining regular season games. Of course, didn't have him for the playoff game either. Lost their final five games of the year. And that's how the season ended with Micah Parsons. So what results could have potentially changed by not having Micah and by having Kenny Clark? I think it's fair to say that it's very difficult to see a path in which things would have been better. We got a very strong glimpse at what Micah Parsons was like with him, and we got a very strong glimpse of what this defense was like without Micah Parsons, and they were a night and day difference. And while Kenny is still a good football player and had a solid season in Dallas, we are talking about two entirely different forces. Kenny's a solid interior defender, was pretty good against the run, actually played the pass pretty well last year as a pass rusher, but Micah was otherworldly, and even despite missing all those games, was still in the Defensive Player of the Year award, right? Or, you know, what did he finish, third? That's insane for how many games he missed. So it's very difficult to get to a point where Green Bay would have been better with Kenny Clark instead of Micah Parsons. Although if Kenny does stay healthy, you do get him for those games that Micah was out for. So maybe that could help some things. But let's look at games that Green Bay won that could have potentially flipped with no Micah. The first one is week one. Now, Green Bay dominated that game, 27-13, and it wasn't even that close. A Tesla touchdown at the end even made it closer than what it really is, you know, what it seems on paper. Green Bay completely crushed them from beginning to end. However, I was there. The energy in that building, because Micah Parsons came out of the tunnel for the first time and the juice that he brought and that sack on Jared Goff, like, how much does that game change in and of itself? Just if you don't have that same buzz and energy and feel from Micah Parsons being there, Green Bay probably still wins based on how that game went, but that's an interesting one. You have the 40-40 tie against the Cowboys. I would be willing to bet you that with no Micah Parsons in Green Bay, that's probably a loss instead of a tie. And if Micah is in Dallas still, well, then I very much feel like that's a win for Dallas. Next up is you have a 27-23 win over the Arizona Cardinals. Green Bay struggled in that game. And remember who closed that game out? Micah Parsons. He was dominant at the end, and basically that's where he kind of started getting the closer moniker. He showed up huge at the end and basically shut that game down and got the win for Green Bay. There's a real chance that they lose that game to the Cardinals without Micah. Giants, 27-20. That was a fourth quarter battle where they had to get that big completion to Savion Williams and score and then kind of hold on at the end. That could have easily gone a different direction without Micah. A 7-point win over the Lions in their second matchup, 31-24. No Micah in that game. Definitely could swap into a loss. And then their 28-21 win over the Chicago Bears. 7-point win easily could have changed if they don't have Micah in that game. There are what? Five wins and a tie that could fairly easily go in a different direction if you don't have Micah Parsons. There are three games that could have been helped. You might say, what? How? What does that even mean? Well, they possibly could have been in a scenario in that week 18 game where they actually would have needed to beat the Vikings, and it wouldn't have mattered. Like, if they would have tried in that game, if Jordan Love and the starters would have played, it wouldn't have mattered if Micah was there, Kenny was there, or, you know, they could have probably had a couple other injuries. They would have beat Minnesota if they wanted to beat Minnesota in that game. So they could have actually won that game. So even if they lose another one because Kenny was there and Micah was not, they probably make up for it with that Vikings game if they needed it. The other two are the Bears games. The 22-16 loss with the onside kick recovery and things like that. Remember, you don't have Micah in that game. And Chicago did a pretty darn good job of running the football. Kenny could have made a big enough impact, especially the way that they were winning that game early. You know, if they just get one more stop on defense in a variety of different ways, that's one that Green Bay definitely could have won. And Kenny maybe could have made a big enough impact to swing that in Green Bay's favor. And then, of course, who knows the butterfly effect of if they get to the playoffs against the same Chicago team anyway. But you don't have Micah in that game. If you do have Kenny, 4-point loss back and forth. They had a huge lead. And if they have Kenny, they might be able to hold up a little bit better. Their defensive tackles really struggled in that game. So there's about six games that could have been worse there's maybe three games that could have been a little bit better because you theoretically would have had Kenny when you didn't have Micah Parsons in those games anyway. So let's just say, you know, remember they were 9-7-1. Let's say they take that Vikings game seriously and they win that game and they get to 10-6-1. But we're going to take the Cowboys game away and we're going to take that from a tie to a loss. So now we're going to go to 10-7. Micah was also the player who closed out that Cardinals game and had such a huge impact. We're going to move that to 9-8, and we're going to say they lose one of the other games, one of the ones to the Lions, maybe the game to the Bears, maybe the game to the Giants, and that brings them to 8-9 on the year. That's a very realistic possibility. We saw what the team looked like. They lost 5 in a row, basically, once Micah was out. I don't think Kenny gains you anything super tangible enough to be like, yep, this is going to fix some of the things that you lose by having Micah Parsons earlier in the year. I think 8-9 is probably, you know, maybe the best case scenario given the circumstances if you don't have Micah during the season. Now, maybe there's a world in which you do a lot of the same things you did the year before, and that's how you go about starting the season, and Kenny helps on the interior. Maybe some things could have been a little bit better, but I think 8-9 is probably a fair assessment. So what happens if they go 8-9? Well, the first thing is they certainly don't make the playoffs. That's a big change. No playoffs for the Green Bay Packers. Now, on a like from a historical standpoint, does it really matter that they went, you know, what, 9-7-1 instead of 8-9? And when they went 9-7-1 and got in and they lost a heartbreaking game in the first round of the playoffs anyway, the difference is pretty negligible, right? It doesn't matter all that much. But Matt LaFleur, Brian Gutekunst, and Russ Ball, as you know, all got contract extensions, probably for the foreseeable future, probably a decent amount of guaranteed money. How does that change if they don't make the playoffs? Is Matt still back as coach? Are they playing out the final year of their contracts? Is it a worse contract? Does he get fired? Does he get traded somewhere else? The same thing with Goody, same thing with Russ Ball. Russ Ball, I would assume, is probably back. Russ has done everything right in his power. But is there a change because they don't make the playoffs? If the answer is no, okay, maybe things stay the same. But where is that line? Where's that line of demarcation? Where is that line? What if they would have gone 7-10? What if they went 6-11? How much does that change things? Is Matt fired in that circumstance? Maybe. Is Goody fired in that circumstance? Maybe. There's a huge change there, especially, you know, there was already conversation in Green Bay with just losing in the first round of the playoffs with all the injuries that they had that, you know, a lot of fans wanted Matt out. Can you imagine what it would have been like if they were 7-10 on the season? I can imagine probably not great. How much does that change the and alter the entire trajectory of the franchise just based on that alone? Maybe not at all. Maybe they give the exact same extensions. And especially if they're 8-9, or maybe if they're 9-8, but still miss the playoffs, maybe they still get the exact same extension. But that's a really interesting one. And maybe one of the biggest what ifs of this entire scenario is if you don't have the same winning power and they don't make the playoffs, what happens to Matt and Goody and Russ Ball? And that's not the only ones that are affected by this. If that defense without Micah struggles for the entire season, like they did without him at the end of the season, you think Jeff Hafley's getting that job in Miami? Probably not. He's probably not a head coach right now, depending on how bad it was. If it was, you know, if there wasn't a ton of difference, then maybe he still gets it. And the same thing, if this team is 7-10, is John Eric Sullivan getting promoted somewhere else? And if John Eric Sullivan doesn't go to Miami, does Jeff Hafley get that job in Miami, regardless of what the defense looked like? Those are all really interesting scenarios. This one change, this one trade could have altered the head coach in Green Bay, the GM in Green Bay, the GM in Miami, the head coach in Miami. And imagine the ripple effects after that. How about the salary cap? Well, Kenny Clark would have made $2.3 million more last year if he was on the team. He would have had the same dead cap hit this year because they would have released him. There's just no way they would have kept Kenny on that contract. Maybe they renegotiate it, but they probably release him. We talked about that a year ago, that 2026 was probably going to be a release for Kenny Clark. They would have saved $10 million by not having to pay Micah last year, and they would save $19.2 million against the salary cap this year by not having Micah. So they'd have $27 million more to spend in salary cap space. It's a pretty hefty free agent that they could go sign. As you can imagine, you could get a Micah Parsons level player. They have Micah Parsons on the roster now. They could add that level player, whether they'd want to trade for a Max Crosby, bring in a Trey Hendrickson, bring in a Jalen Phillips, who knows? But they would have the ability to make a move like that at this point in time if they wanted to, because they have that additional salary cap space available. We'll be right back. Hey friends, it's time to shoot your shot on Prize Picks and get $50 in lineups instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's right. Prize Picks is now giving you $50 in lineups when you sign up and play your first $5 lineup. Now Prize Picks makes every dunk, every dime, and every board that much more exciting. So don't miss this chance to get started on America's number one app for sports picks. And yes, Prize Picks is available here in Wisconsin. I've been picking more or less every week and have never looked back. Make sure to check if Prize Picks is available in your area today, and it probably is. They're available in 50 states. Now, Prize Picks doesn't end with football season. This week, I'm going with some basketball and hockey. Tyrese Maxey, Connor McDavid, Cade Cunningham, all three are going to be in my lineups this week. I can't wait. And guess what? Baseball season is going to be here before you know it as well. So it's time to join millions of users and sign up for America's number one sports picks app. And Prize Picks puts their users first, so all withdrawals are fast and secure. So download that Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. That's not the only other benefit. They would also have their 2026 and 2027 first-round draft picks. You might think, well, they were the first team eliminated in the playoffs, and let's just say they were 8-9, right? Like, what draft pick would that have been? Would it even have been that good anyway? An 8-9 draft pick for your Green Bay Packers would have likely have been pick 14 in the draft. That's not a throwaway draft pick. That is a top 15 pick. Green Bay is not often picking in that range. And of course, TBD what that pick would have been in 2027, because you traded away your 2027 first round pick as well. But probably at 8-9, again, and that's probably best case scenario for the team last year without Micah, you're probably picking at pick 14. If you're wondering if they would have went 7-10, would have been pick 12. If they would have went 6-11, probably would have been about pick 9 or 10 in the draft. But even pick, 14 at 8-9 would have been a pretty significant pick for Green Bay, plus a future first still remaining as well. The roster would look exactly the same, meaning Kenny Clark's going to get cut. And I should say without Micah Parsons, obviously. So no Micah Parsons, everything else looks exactly the same because you're cutting Kenny Clark anyway. So there's no changes in the roster. There may have been a change or two, a minimal change along the way. Maybe they sign a defensive end, at some point in time or do something. But in all likelihood, this roster looks extremely similar as it does right now, save for the fact that you don't have Micah. You have a first-round pick this year, probably around pick 14, a first-round pick next year, and an additional $27 million to spend in free agency. That's where things would stand right now. There is one other scenario that I want to go over, though, and that's the trade deadline. If you remember, Jalen Phillips was traded at the trade deadline last year from Miami to Philadelphia. Let's say the season played out pretty similar. Of those games that we mentioned earlier in the year, let's say they still beat Detroit in week 1. Let's say they lose to Dallas in week 4 when they tied that game. Let's say they still found a way to beat the Cardinals, right? Let's say they're sitting just a half a game worse at the trade deadline, and they're 5-3 at the trade deadline. That would have been the game before the Eagles game. They're 5-3. You didn't trade for Micah. You can now get Jalen Phillips for a 3rd-round pick. And I'm willing to bet you that Goody would have recognized, oh boy, our defensive ends aren't good enough. Rashawn Gary's not playing great. LVN is either banged up or, again, still trying to come into his own. Enigbari's fine, but they knew going into the season that they needed Micah. And now I can only imagine after 8 games that they probably recognized it even more. Oh, we need an edge rusher, and we need an edge rusher bad. And if Green Bay offers the same 3rd-round pick, they would have been behind Philly in the standings. So Green Bay's third round pick would have been more valuable at that point in time, likely, than Philadelphia's. So if Green Bay trades a third round pick at that time, they potentially get Jalen Phillips. Does that change that Eagles game at all, where you get Jalen Phillips, the Eagles do not? Maybe you get a little boost in momentum from getting Jalen Phillips going into that game. The Eagles seem to get a little boost from having Jalen Phillips in that game. They don't have that. Green Bay does. Now, maybe Philly trades for somebody else. Who knows? Maybe they're the ones that end up with Micah. Who knows? But maybe Green Bay actually wins that game. And all of a sudden, you're 6-3 following an Eagles win. You have Jalen Phillips instead of Micah Parsons. Remember, Micah goes out torn ACL. Maybe you actually get Jalen Phillips at the end of the year, and maybe you actually end up with a better record that way. That would have been a really interesting scenario. Do I think it probably would have, you know, again, maybe butterfly affected, and you've got Kraft and you know, you still have Kenny Clark in that scenario. That's an interesting one to play out. That's a very interesting one to play out. Only because you lost Micah due to injury. And in this case, again, we don't know what injuries, maybe Phillips gets injured in this situation, who knows? But you do have Phillips and you do have Kenny Clark. So you, in weeks, you know what, from Broncos game to end of year when you lost 5 in a row, instead of not having Micah for those games, you now have Kenny Clark and Jalen Phillips. That's interesting. And again, maybe some of those other players who were hurt you have instead, because again, maybe they didn't get hurt along the way. What could have Green Bay done in that scenario? That's a fun one to think about. Jalen Phillips would be an unrestricted free agent this offseason. He is an unrestricted free agent this offseason. If he would have played well for Green Bay, I'm sure Green Bay would have probably done something in their power to keep him. I'll also say this. If Green Bay would have traded a third round pick for Jalen Phillips, they would have got a contract extension done by now. Green Bay would not have been in the business of trading a third round pick for Jalen Phillips just to let him walk. That's not their operating procedure. They would have tried to extend him. Yes, they probably would get a third round pick back and a comp pick and whatever, but you get my point. They probably would have extended him. So Jalen Phillips on the roster in that situation. Wouldn't have a third round pick this year because you traded that third for Jalen Phillips, but you'd still have your first round pick and your first round pick next year and probably a little bit more salary cap space because Phillips isn't going to cost as much as what Micah Parsons did. That's a unique one as well. Now, of course, it should be noted, Phillips nowhere near the player that Micah Parsons is when healthy, but a fun addition to the team either way. And again, a fun way to kind of play out that scenario. If you're looking for, you know, would player development have been different? Baron Sorrell probably gets a little bit more playing time in that scenario. Maybe that helps out his career a little bit, getting some additional snaps. Warren Brinson and, you know, Nasir Stackhouse probably get fewer snaps in that situation. So you're probably in a pretty similar spot overall. I don't think anything major changes from a developmental scenario. If you're looking for maybe the most realistic scenario and what I kind of would have expected to happen, I think they probably would have went around 8-9. I bet Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst still would have been back. I think it maybe would have been a little bit more contentious. Maybe it would have been a little bit more of a unique negotiation, but I bet they still end up coming back. I bet Halfley's still the defensive coordinator in that scenario. I don't think he gets that job. Now, maybe John Eric Sullivan still gets the job, and then maybe he was going to bring Halfley no matter what. But I think there's a real scenario where that defense is probably finishing around like 25th in defense this year. And if that's the case, can you really hire that defensive coordinator as your head coach? Maybe Miami felt like, hey, we don't really care about him as a coordinator. We think he's got the intangibles to be a great head coach, which I could totally understand. But there's a real world in which Halfley would now be back as defensive coordinator because that defense doesn't perform anywhere near as well. You'd be picking 14th in the draft. You would not have Micah Parsons. You'd have a first-round pick left in 2027 and $27 million additional to spend in free agency. And again, as I talked about before, maybe there's a world in which Matt's not back. You have a new head coach. Maybe that nukes, you know, Jeff Halfley from the team already. Maybe Jeff Halfley's the head coach. Who knows the different outcomes that could have possibly come out of this if Micah was never traded for? It's a really crazy thing to look back at. Could it have extended Green Bay's window? That's an interesting question. I don't know. Certainly, you don't have the upside of having Micah Parsons on your team. I still think that's the highest upside overall, no question about it. But there are a variety of different scenarios that could have transpired. I will say this one more time. It's hard to imagine that Green Bay could have been better. The Jalen Phillips thing is the closest because maybe you're right around the same record. Maybe you get that win against Philly if you have Phillips and they don't. And you get a little boost in that game because you traded for Phillips. And then again, you go to Denver, you have Phillips and Clark, and you only had a half of Parsons in that game, and then Parsons was out the remainder of the season anyway. So maybe you get a boost from that. Maybe you win a playoff game. Maybe you end up going to Seattle. Would they have beat Seattle? Probably not. But maybe it does, maybe it actually does end up better. How much so? Probably not by much. Maybe they win one playoff game instead. And that's in a crazy scenario where they still acquire Jalen Phillips. So I would say best case scenario is that they probably advance another round. That's probably it. Maybe they get one more round after that, but that's probably extreme best case scenario. It's really hard to imagine that without Micah. And the worst case scenario is they go 6-11. Matt's gone. Goody's gone. Jeff Hafley is probably not a head coach. John Eric Sullivan's probably not a GM. You don't have, you know, Micah Parsons on the roster. You have an early pick. You have some more money to spend, but you're probably looking at a major change in 2026. And I know some of you are thinking, doesn't sound so bad. I'm not a fan of Matt. I'm not a fan of Goody. And yeah, I like having Micah Parsons, but now he's coming off a torn ACL and you gave him a ton of money. Maybe that doesn't sound so bad. Personally, I think it doesn't sound great. I think you're probably worse off that way. If you're asking me the final question, would I have done the trade if I have this benefit of hindsight? Yeah, a billion times out of a billion. There is nothing that you could tell me. Of course, I would change it in the benefit of hindsight if Micah gets a career-ending injury or if they never make the playoffs again. With the benefit of hindsight, sure. But that deal was the right deal at the right time for the right player for the right reasons when they made it. And you don't get the benefit of hindsight when you make that deal. And I make that deal in every simulation. Even if you do the Doctor Strange and, you know, he only holds up one finger and it's only one multiverse that wins it, I'm taking that deal because it, to me, that was the right deal to make. Again, if you have the benefit of hindsight and you know, then sure, whatever. But you don't have that at the time. And for me, I can't imagine a better player, a better locker room guy, a better possible outcome than getting Mike at that point in time and trying to make a run in Jordan's prime. That was the right move. It may not end up that way, especially now coming off a torn ACL and losing one of those years of your window with Micah and Jordan, but you didn't know that ahead of time. And despite even some of the stuff, even if you ask me now, with the benefit of hindsight on February 21st, 2026, I am absolutely still taking that deal. No questions asked. Would have been interesting if they didn't. Would love to know what this exact scenario looks like right now. But if it's me, I'm still doing that deal and I'm not even remotely considering any other outcome. But it's a fun conversation nonetheless. Hope you guys enjoyed it. That's going to do it for me today. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gasford, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Willie Winklesinkle, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Hayden Radomski, Devin Lane, Alexander Newell, Richard Morales, and Les Nino, Beast Bumblebee, Benjamin Sargent, Christian Bradley, Steve Bates, John Mark Liddell, Nemo, Donald Decker, Damon Hartley, Zilch Zillertson, and Large Charles. I'll see you guys tomorrow. But until next time, and as always, Go Pack Go.